I want to give you another good Hebrew phrase, if I can find it, and then we'll begin a message here. I want to call this out to you. I've got so many pages. You know, I have 340 pages I want to cover tonight. I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to work you up. Now, here's the phrase, Zaman Simchatenu. Say that. Zaman Simchatenu. The season of our joy. That's what this holiday is often called. We are to be entering into a season of joy. If we have used the time from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur correctly, if we use before that the month of Elul correctly to examine ourselves and to really intentionally come before God in order to repent and to prepare for the coming year, then this becomes the season of our joy. Sin will rob you of joy. In the same way, obedience will cause joy to grow strong in you. Yeshua said, "Obey my commands so that my joy may be complete in you." So obedience will lead us to great joy. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about doing Sukkot. Discovering great things from inside of a hut. That's what I want to call this message. Remembering is the first step in celebrating. Guys, have you ever said, "Oops, I forgot your birthday. I forgot your anniversary." You did that once? You only do that one time. And of course, your wife says, "You didn't remember?" And you learn something, right, Chris? You learn that if you don't remember, you can't celebrate. So remembering is the first step in celebrating. Remembering is not enough if that's all we do. Imagine it's that special day, that anniversary, and you say, "Oh, yeah, now I remember. It's our anniversary." And the wife says, "Well, what are we doing for our anniversary?" And guys, we shrug our shoulders and say, "Doing? Hey, I remembered this year. That's an improvement over last year." And then you discover a lesson that hopefully you will never have to learn again, that remembering may be the first step, but it can't be the only step. Remembering is not enough if it's all that we do. Every Jewish holiday has two sides to it, remembering and celebrating. Synonyms in the Bible for celebrating include keeping and observing. So let's just say these words, celebrating, keeping, observing. Exodus 20, chapter 20, verse 8 says, "Remember the Shabbat and keep it holy." That's one translation. But maybe a better translation is "remember the Shabbat by observing it and keeping it holy." Or "remember the Shabbat and keep it as a day set apart." Because holy means set apart. So you remember and keep. Say that with me. Remember and keep. Remember and celebrate. Say that with me. Remember and celebrate. Remember and observe. Say that with me. Remember and observe. So remembering and celebrating builds connections for us. It connects us to God. It builds connections between us and one another. We were talking just last night as we were celebrating together. How when we keep a fast together corporately, there's a connection that's made. It feels not just like accountability, but it feels like we get stronger by doing something together. When we fast for Yom Kippur, when we fast on Mondays, and you participate in that, it makes you stronger. It connects you with other people who are doing the same thing. Remembering and celebrating builds connections between us and the Jewish world, between us and the nations of the world, too. I'll explain that in just a minute as it relates to Sukkot. Between now and times past, and remembering and celebrating also builds connections between right now and the future. Leviticus chapter 23 says, You shall dwell in Sukkot, or booths, or huts for a week. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths. So who is supposed to dwell in booths? Native Israelites. That's what it says. So that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. In this way, Moses proclaimed, or he preached to the children of Israel, the feasts of the Lord. So Moses preached the feasts of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice something. In verse 43, Leviticus 23, 43, the Lord is showing us the result of celebrating Sukkot by spending time in a sukkah. It's so that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths. Who was the cause of this? The Lord. And what does he want? He wants every generation to know that he made the children of Israel dwell in the Sukkot. And we learn something from this. The doing, the dwelling now in Sukkot, in booths, causes the knowing. The knowing, this is another way of saying it, the knowing comes from the doing. And I really want to focus on this because I think it's the first reason for celebrating Sukkot. I'm going to give you several reasons, but this is the first. It makes us remember that God made the children of Israel live in Sukkot or booths or huts when he brought them out of Egypt. It causes us to remember that God was behind it all. And that forces us to ask questions. Why did God do it? And why does he want us to remember it? And why huts? Why not nice homes? And can't we forget this already? It's been a long time. It was a terrible time. But the word is, no, don't forget the journey. Don't forget the past. But even more than that, use it. Remember the past and how God was with us so that we can use it for now and for the future. This raises questions. What do we learn about God that he wants us to spend time in huts? Well, one thing we learn, that God is leading us on our journey and that things may be tough. Why don't you turn to the person next to you if you know they're going through a tough time and just tell them things may be tough. Things are tough. Things are really tough, but God is with us. Things are tough, but God is with you. Tell the person next to you, look him in the eye. Things are tough, but God is with you. Don't forget, this life is important because it prepares us for the future, including eternity, but our circumstances right now are temporary. Here's a second reason for celebrating Sukkot. Remembering Sukkot and learning about Sukkot aren't enough. Celebrating is necessary. Celebration is experience, and experience is the second part of learning. Without experience, we have incomplete learning. It's like what the prophets talk about, hearing and doing. What Yeshua talked about, hearing and doing. What the Messianic Jewish apostles talked about, hearing and doing. Celebration teaches us. When you actually celebrate, you learn things you can never learn when you just hear about something, or you just read about it, or learn about it. In fact, when you actually celebrate, your children will say to you, "Why do we do that?" Celebration raises questions. Celebration requires explanation. If you want to take a holiday off, and let's say you're Jewish and you work for someone who's not, you have to explain to them why you should get this holiday off. They might say, "Well, why should you have that holiday? I'm giving you Christmas off." And you say, "Well, I appreciate that Christmas off, but this other holiday is my holiday. And so I need that time off." Or if you're not Jewish, but you're part of a Messianic congregation and you're keeping the holidays, and you try to explain to your boss or your colleagues or your subordinates that You're going to take that time off, and they look at you and say, are you Jewish? And you say, well, no, I'm not Jewish. And then you have to answer a lot more questions, don't you? Right? And it becomes a teaching moment. And the first one who learns is us. You. You know, because people say, well, why are you doing this? You say, well, let me get back to you on that. Haven't we all said something like that when we're asked a question that we weren't prepared to answer? I'll give you a third reason. Celebrating Sukkot makes it ours. Celebration comes through reenactment. For instance, we build a sukkah. We spend time in a sukkah. We fellowship with guests. We actually reenact. You may be enjoying this service tonight, but this is only one small aspect of Sukkot. It's not really the way that we're called to celebrate. We're actually called to spend time inside of a sukkah. How many of you knew that already? How many of you have read the Bible? That's good. It's in there. Celebration makes Sukkot ours, and it changes something for us. We begin to say, my forefathers went through the desert, and they dwelt in huts in Sukkot. And we say that instead of saying the ancient Israelites or the Hebrews. And instead of thinking about some ancient them, we think about us. And we say, my people went through the desert and God was with us. The celebration causes Sukkot to actually become ours and not somebody else's. Now here's a fourth reason. Celebrating Sukkot connects us to eternity. And you might say, well, how does it do that? And I'll explain a little bit now and a little bit more in just a few minutes. It connects the past, the present, and the future. God is the God of heaven, and he's the God of the earth below, and yet at the same time, the God of time and space is the eternal God. The scriptures speak of him as God who was, and who is, and who is to come. And the scriptures say that the whole earth is full of his glory. So Sukkot connects us to eternity because it causes us to be connected to the past, to the present, to the future, and all of this helps us anticipate and be ready for the things that belong to God forever. And I'll give you a fifth reason. Celebrating Sukkot develops real discipleship in us. Remembering, reading, even studying, this is one side of learning, but celebrating, keeping, doing, this is the other side. To hear, as we've been talking about in recent weeks, to hear is the internal side. To do is the external side. And real discipleship requires hearing and doing. Celebrating Sukkot, not just learning about it, but keeping it, protects us from the danger of only hearing but not doing. So those are five reasons why to celebrate Sukkot. Now I want to go a little bit deeper, and I want to talk about the future. What we do now connects us to the future. God's salvation is interesting. It's not to be understood as just a point-in-time experience. The salvation of God is so powerful because it touches eternity. It reaches back into the past, and it saves us from past sins. It touches us in the present in every aspect of our lives, and salvation from God also reaches into the future. And all of this works together and equips us to live forever. So Sukkot is important not just because it connects us to the past, and not just because we can do something about it right now, but because what we do right now connects us to the future that God has in mind. If you have something to write on, just take note of this. The 14th chapter of the prophet Zechariah, or Zechariah, chapter 14. It describes a future when every nation will celebrate this particular Jewish holiday. Every nation on the earth is going to be summoned by God to celebrate Sukkot. Now, some people may say, well, why do you call it a Jewish holiday and not just a biblical holiday if it's for every nation? And I'm going to give you two reasons. Number one comes from the Gospels, John, chapter 7, verse 2, where Sukkot is described as a Jewish holiday. So it's a gospel that is written not just for Jews, but for all nations and for every time, in every epoch, every season. And yet in that gospel, Sukkot is described as the Jewish holiday. And at the same time, Zechariah chapter 14 describes Sukkot as a Jewish holiday that every nation will be required to celebrate in the future. Every nation will be required. A few weeks ago, I got an official-looking mailing from the government. Do you ever get things like that and you debate whether you want to open them or not? This one said, jury duty. And they had me scheduled to come on Yom Kippur. Actually, the day of Kol Nidre. So it was the day before, to be honest with you. And I thought, great, I have an excuse. And then I looked up all the explanations that they gave about how you could get excused. And they've changed the rules. Rabbis, pastors, others can't use such explanations for an excuse. Isn't that terrible? However, we can use it for a delay. So I called up the office. I don't even remember what this office is called. But I called them up and I said, I'm a rabbi and we have a Jewish holiday coming up. And the woman said, no problem at all. When would you like us to reschedule you? It wasn't a question, oh, well, then you don't have to do this. This isn't convenient. It was, okay, come another time. So we agreed on another time relatively soon. And I understood something. I'd been summoned to come. And I couldn't give an excuse. Zechariah describes this as the kind of thing that will happen to every nation at a certain point. Every nation is going to receive a summons to send representatives to Jerusalem to celebrate Sukkot. And those nations can't say, but we're not Jewish. The nations that don't come, the scripture says, will be deprived of rain. Oh, we'll look at that a little further. Now, whenever past, present, and future are connected for us, it connects us to eternity, to God's realm. And I want to show you two related prophetic passages that describe worship in heaven and give us this understanding of the connection between past, present, future, and eternity. The first one is in the last book of the New Covenant Scriptures, Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. It describes an unusual thing happening in heaven that's also described in other scriptures in the prophetic scriptures of the Tanakh. It says, the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night, that's challenging, isn't it? In heaven, day and night, they do not cease to say, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Elohim. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is, and who is to come. So in the realm of heaven, in the realm of eternity, there are special beings who worship God all the time, and they are saying, in Hebrew, Asher haya vehoveh veyavo, the God who was, and is to come. The God of the past, the God of the present, the God of the future. So the book of Revelation is describing this awesome reality that is happening continually in the realm of heaven. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 3 describes the same moment but in slightly different ways. It talks about beings who call out one to another and say, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzavaot, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Melo chol ha'aret kavodo. These are two descriptions of the same kind of thing. There's worship taking place in heaven, unceasing worship, and it is declaring the God of heaven and earth, the God of time and space, and the God who rules in eternity and yet rules on the earth below. So we discover that the eternal God is the God of space and time. Whenever you do anything that connects you to the past where God has been working, to the present where God is working, to the future where God will work, that connects you to eternity. And it causes you to experience an aspect of God that you can't get any other way. The whole earth is full of His glory. The whole earth is full of His glory. The whole earth is full of His glory. Now today you might say, I don't believe it. I don't believe the whole earth is full of His glory. Which means you're not worshiping the way heaven's worshiping. You are seeing things through your own natural eyes and through the eyes of the news and through the eyes of circumstance, through the eyes of present realities, but not through the eyes of eternity. You're not seeing something that angelic beings can see. They're worshiping God and they look down on the earth. And what do they see? The whole earth is full of His glory. The whole earth is full. My prayer for us at this Sukkot is that we would have eyes to see that the whole earth is full of His glory. When we get inside of a sukkah, it helps us understand that the whole earth is full of His glory. When we are in that sukkah and we look up to the stars and we're having fellowship one with another, eating together, entertaining guests or being guests, you know what happens? We get connected to eternity. We get connected to the Jewish people all over the world who are doing the same thing. We get connected to times past and to times future. We get connected not just to the Jewish world, but to the nations of the world in a very specific way. Because this holiday, this Jewish holiday, is ordained by God as a holiday for every nation in the future. Those of us who are in a Messianic congregation have the opportunity to practice now what will unfold in the future. We have the opportunity to be an avant-garde, to actually experience the kinds of things that the prophets, that Yeshua meant when they said, "My house will be a house of prayer for all nations." A messianic synagogue, a messianic Jewish synagogue, is a place where Jews can gather together and where those from the nations gather together with us in order to worship God, to pray and to worship. And we bring fulfillment to God's prophetic word that His house will be a house of prayer for all nations. It's not just that we will pray for nations, we will be Jews and nations praying to God, seeking His will, putting His will into practice. One of the great prophetic warnings to the Jewish people touches an issue that is so important to us. It's the issue of hearing but not doing. Let me read to you from Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 30 through 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, starting in verse 30. "As for you, son of man, the children of your people," this is addressed to the prophet, "are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, 'Please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord.'" Let's go listen to the prophet. Verse 31. "And so they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people." And then look at this. "And they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them. This repetition is designed to help us capture the most important point. They hear the words, the prophetic words. They delight in them, but they don't do them. And when this comes to pass, surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Ezekiel puts his finger on this problem, hearing but not doing. Yeshua described that as a core problem for those people who gather around him, hearing but not doing. Jacob, Yaakov, the Messianic Jewish apostle, who is known in English as James, but is not. You can call him Jack. He also said this was a problem, to hear but not to do. And he says, be hearers and doers of the word. Ezekiel says the problem is hearing but not doing, but he says there's a deeper problem still. Our mouths show much love. Touch your lips. While our hearts pursue their own gain. We know what to do, but we don't do it. Why? He says it's a problem of the heart. Here's where the problem is. You see, appearances can be more important to us than reality. Having the right words to tell other people can make us content. We're content with that outward, even if we don't follow through, even if we don't put into practice the things that we know. But I want to tell you something. There is more joy available. More joy comes from following God. Fullness of joy comes by acting on what we learn. Keep my mitzvot, my commands, Yeshua says, so that your joy may be complete. Sukkot is Zaman Simchatenu, the season of our joy. It is a holiday that is designed to bring us in contact with God, with heaven and earth, with times past, times present, the future, with the rest of the Jewish world and all the nations. It's an extraordinary holiday that can only be experienced and not just learned about. We must do Sukkot. That's why we're having a Sukkot picnic, to make it easy. We will gather together tomorrow in order to gather under the sukkah. We have a giant sukkah. We'll go down to the Decker School in Switzerland, the town, not the country. It's convenient. No passport required. And we will decorate the sukkah with fruits and with vegetables. We will gather together there. We will praise the Lord. We will wave the lulav and the etrog. We will pray for families, one for another. We will bless each other. We will have a time of eating and feasting and joy, a time of fun and games, and even a tevilah for those who are prepared. It is a wonderful holiday. And I want to encourage you to do something, and that is to celebrate. Celebrate this holiday and decide that you will experience it. You can still get tickets tonight. I'm surprised. I thought we weren't going to do it. I'm glad we are. You can still get tickets. You can still come for tomorrow. And I want to ask you to do something else. Let next year bring you into even more celebration of Sukkot by building a sukkah at your own home or going to someone else's house and being inside their sukkah. Do that. Make a decision that you're going to be a hearer and a doer of the word, and it will expand what you learn about God, what you learn about yourself and your connection with us and with all of God's people. Let's pray. Lord, you are the Lord of heaven and earth, and you give us this great feast in order to connect us with your reality, that you are eternal, and yet you are ruling on this earth right now. We lived, our forefathers, our ancestors lived in temporary dwellings as you led them through the desert, as you led them out of Egypt towards the promised land, and you were with us. You teach us, Lord, that you are with us. You dwell among us, and that our affections should not be so tied to the things of this world that we focus on them and lose heart because we don't focus on you. Open our hearts, open our minds, that this Sukkot would become a season of joy for us. We pray in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you gather together with family, with friends? Our new Through the Bible reading plan will be coming to you next week. It's new and improved. Keep your eyes out. One more thing. Sandy and I won't be here next week because we're going to my grandmother's 100th birthday celebration. And thank you for her. She comes from stock in Czech and Hungary. Her father lived in Budapest, where we later moved to. It's interesting how the circle just continues. And we're gathering together somewhere between 50 and 100 of us. We'll be gathering to celebrate her and the long life that she's lived and to give blessings to her. So thank you all for keeping us in prayer as we're there. Let's remember at the Aaronic benediction. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Sukkot Sameach.